You are watching Cable 10, Aurora, Illinois Community Access Channel.
Swing!
Extreme close-up!
Gone, 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 so long, gone, 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 so long, gone, 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 so long, gone, 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 so long, 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 gone, gone
Welcome back in to the Radcast.
The Radcast.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it feels good to be back.
New studio.
We are recording in a new space, which is just the room across from where we were recording. Right.
But this is
in
bigger.
My apartment. Yes.
Can you hear? Hello.
Don't do that.
The vast expanse. Hello.
It's a little bigger of a room because at some point this summer, we needed room to set up cameras and lights.
Yes.
Because we are going to be venturing on to YouTube for the visual aspect of the show.
Goals and aspirations.
Exactly. Even if it is just to continue to entertain
yes.
all of you listening. Thank you for joining us. This is an amazing occasion because we are what's old is new again.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that have held on with Matt and I and you've been listening to us for the last year and a half, we were doing a show called Sucktastic Cinema,
mm-hmm.
which was a very good time.
It was fun. A lot of great episodes, great conversations.
Great guests.
Yeah, great guests.
Just, we had a great time riffing. However we set up bad movies,
yeah.
our definition, we
yep.
could never come up with something definitive. But we just missed venturing into all the worlds of various pop culture.
Yeah, yeah, and we were right in the idea of like narrowing the focus would change the way we prepare mm-hmm. and it'd be a lot easier in some respects, but we really just missed touching all these different things, a lot of things that we like too,
mm-hmm.
whereas on Sucktastic Cinema we would have a stretch of weeks to where we're absolutely miserable
yeah.
preparing because the movie is so bad
yeah.
and we can only take so much.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't be the case today
yeah.
as we dip our toes back in the water
yeah.
of this beautiful, wonderful pop culture world.
Exactly. And for those of you that were with us in the original run of the Radcast,
mm-hmm.
we like to split our weeks up into monthly series.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
One of which we are going
yeah.
to be including kind of the idea of riffing on horrible
yeah.
things in a monthly series called Radcast Riffs,
because we can't like not do
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to be movies. 90% of it will probably be
yeah,
movies, but
right.
could be an album, could
mm-hmm.
be a TV show,
yeah.
could be a event in pop culture,
mm-hmm.
could be the Monica Lewinsky scandal,
yeah, Disney,
Euro Disney. Various topics that we will be riffing there. Radcast Roulette, which if you're with us originally, it was a month series to where we just
spun the wheel
and just the grab bag of random pop culture
yep.
topics, which we will be kicking off that series with a year-by-year retrospective of the 2000s.
Yes, like we did with the 90s
mm-hmm.
and the previous, I wouldn't say previous iteration. This is the same
it's
show.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, we took a break to do something else,
yeah.
and now we're back. So
yeah.
like we did with the 90s,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to do it with the 2000s.
Exactly.
And we'll probably do the 80s, but the
yeah.
2000s is more like we were there.
Yeah.
And we can definitely definitively give some personal experience
mm-hmm.
with a lot of the things
that
were there.
Teenagers and preteen,
yeah.
and it was later preteen years in the 2000s.
Yep.
As fun as it is to try and recollect on childhood things of the 90s,
yeah.
the 2000s, we will have a little more meat on the bones with
mm-hmm.
our personal memories
yeah.
with things. And then Radcast Ramble, which is
one of our favorite
series.
I was going to say one of our personal favorites
yeah.
because it goes off the rails. mm-hmm. fairly quickly.
Exactly. It's just us. It's most of the time it will probably be us with a guest, but there will be times where it's just Matt and I.
Yep.
And we just have free-flowing conversation yeah. about whatever comes up.
Usually what starts that is our wonderful This Month in History segment.
This Month in History segment, which I just want to preface and say that everything in that segment is 100% true as it's
yes.
laid out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And a lot of the lampooning is inspired by today's movie.
Yes.
Because it has been crucial to our growth and development comedically mm-hmm. and how we approach things in
yeah.
life.
And then speaking of today, the series that kicks it off every month, Radcast Rentals.
Radcast Rentals.
Yes. And if you saw by the title of this episode, we are talking about Wayne's World.
What a way to kick the Radcast back off.
Mm-hmm. Like Matt said, that is not hyperbole that this movie was crucial
yeah.
in our comedic development.
Yep.
However you want to slice that if you're
yeah.
listening.
You may think that we think too highly of ourselves, but I think you are wrong.
Yes, we are excited to see how the Radcast this go around
mm-hmm.
unfolds. We're excited about the video element.
Yep.
And another exciting development is we are going to be, when we start up our YouTube page,
mm-hmm.
it is going to be Twin Freaks Media.
Because mm-hmm. we are twins.
And we are
and
freaks.
And twins are freaks.
Exactly.
They're the last vestiges of
P.T. Barnum and
P.T.
Barnum's freak shows.
Freak shows.
But we will have a Facebook page.
We embrace it, Mom.
Yes,
because
exactly.
She is going to Texas. You guys are not freaks because she's done it before.
We are freaks with a Z.
Yeah, freaks with a Z, so it's cool.
Exactly. Freak on a leash, baby.
Freak on a leash with a Z, baby.
Yeah.
Freak on a Z.
Yes. But yes. enough silliness. But it is going to contain all, it's going to archive our Sucktastic Cinema
mm-hmm.
episodes. We won't put every Radcast on all at once just yet. We
yeah.
may start with our 5-timer episodes
yeah.
to put on there, but we're going to archive episodes on there, Twin Freaks Media, and then we will have a Facebook page up for
mm-hmm.
Twin Freaks Media
yep.
specifically. However, we already have socials for
we
the
do.
Radcast.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, why don't you let everyone know where they can still find us, even though we haven't posted since
it happens.
In February.
But I keep a finger on the pulse.
You know,
yeah. You can find us on Instagram at the Radcast. That's cast spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word. You can also find us on Twitter at TRadcast. T for the Radcast again, all one word. And I have to remember now to log into that Twitter because
yes.
it's still there, but I have it on Twitter. I can't have more than two profiles.
Yeah,
that I can keep track of.
Yeah,
so time out with the Sucktastic, back in with the mm-hmm. Radcast.
Yeah, and if you could please go in and
mm-hmm.
give us 5 stars wherever applicable, which you can do on Spotify now.
On Spotify, again, Apple Podcast. Wherever else
leave
you can
review.
Wherever you can leave a review,
yes.
rate, review, all that
yes,
stuff.
This won't be the first time we're asking you all to
yes.
do this. Pretty
yeah.
soon we'll be asking you to like and subscribe the video.
Yeah, like and subscribe the video right down here. Like and subscribe.
Yes, like and subscribe.
Hit
right
that
down
bell
here,
notification
right now.
So
like
that you know every time we put out a new
video,
every time we
put out
a
new
video,
Spotify video, you like to like and subscribe.
Aren't you glad?
Aren't you glad we're all back? All that being said, let's ring the Radcast back in with this Radcast rental.
Make it a blockbuster night.
And now, our feature presentation.
All right, Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's
World.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
That's from Wayne's World 2.
Yeah.
Wayne's World was released February 14th, 1992, so just about a month and a half out
of
its 30th anniversary.
But still a monumental occasion.
Exactly.
I'll take any excuse to not only watch Wayne's World, but celebrate the genius of
mm-hmm.
this movie.
Exactly. Directed by Penelope Spheeris, starring Mike Myers as Wayne Campbell, Dana Carvey as Garth Algar, Rob Lowe is Benjamin.
Can I just say?
Yes.
Because this is the Sucktastic Cinema format of introducing a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And now that you're doing it for like a like a legitimately good movie.
Right.
It's a, I'm like, well, this is a little weird.
Well, don't worry, you can, because since Penelope Spheeris directed it, you can we can riff a little bit on History of the World, or not History of the World, Decline of Western Civilization.
Oh no, that's going to be a Radcast riff
episode. Of the Metal
episode.
Years.
Yeah.
But she directed that, and she directed The Little Rascals.
She did.
But Rob Lowe is Benjamin.
Benjamin.
Tia Carrere is Cassandra. Kurt Fuller is Russell. And Brian Doyle Murray is Noah Vanderhoff. With, and there's a long list of people I'm including as side characters, because that is one, that is, and I'll talk about it in the episode, but that is, I think, what separates this from a lot of other SNL movies from being 90-minute long skits, is the world building and the side characters that are introduced.
I would argue that the side characters make the movie.
Yeah.
Because it gives Wayne and Garth something to react to or work with.
To play off of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Laura Flynn Boyle, Stacy.
Hello, Stacy.
Hi, Wayne.
And also, just to preface, this is, we're going to get into it. This is my favorite comedy.
Oh,
this,
same.
This
yeah.
movie, I probably, in my lexicon, and how I apply it to everyday life, like I probably quote it more than any other movie. And I will, before you move on, I will preface and say this will not be just an episode of Wayne's World movie quotes.
No.
I promise we are going to talk about the movie, all that other stuff, but there will be quotes
there.
It just comes with the territory.
Peppered, and there's going to be a specific spot to where paying homage to the skit on SNL. We're going to do a top 10 moments that Matt and I, ever since we were... 11 years old and watch this movie. You bought the DVDs at Best Buy. And then ever since we were 11 years old, things that have stuck with us as things we quote on a regular basis, things we reference. We'll have a top 10 of things that are indelible as references go, and we'll have a top 10 quotes that we use a lot, but it's not going to be all peppered throughout.
So I promise this will be conversational, not just quotes. Yeah. For those of you who that isn't necessarily your thing, is just straight, just movie quotes back to back to back.
Yeah. Michael DeLuise is Alan. Dan Bell is Neil. Lee Turgeson as Terry. Sean Sullivan as, Phil.
Phil.
You're partied out, man. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, again, it's their knee jerk. They're triggers over the years that are just instinctual.
Yeah. Yeah. Colleen Camp as Mrs. Vanderhoff. Donna Dixon as Dream Woman.
I love Dr. Detroit.
Yeah. Well, she's been married to Dan Aykroyd since 83. Wife. Yeah.
She used to date.
She broke up with Paul Stanley from Kiss to date Dan Aykroyd.
There's something to being the funny guy.
Just saying. Something to being the funny guy.
Who cares if you can play guitar and
sell out Cobo Hall?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
Can I make them laugh? There's one thing women want to do, and that's laugh.
Jiminy Glick. Yeah. Ed O'Neill is Glenn. Frederick Coffin as, I feel like it's not Coffin, but whatever. Frederick Coffin is Officer Koharski. Mike Haggerty is Davey. Chris Farley is security guard, the late Meatloaf as Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice Cooper as himself.
Mm-hmm.
Box office of $183 million on a $20 million budget.
Mm.
And I don't think any SNL movie.
No.
Or any movie that's been based off an SNL skit has, minus the Blues Brothers, as successful as Wayne's World.
And leading up to this episode, actually kind of unrelated to the episode, because I'll kind of think about this stuff throughout the day anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, I was thinking about SNL movies and stuff. And I'm like, really? The Blues Brothers and Wayne's World?
Maybe
like,
Coneheads.
Maybe Coneheads.
That is more of like a cult following.
Yeah, financially, Wayne's World and Blues Brothers are the most financially successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that they're probably the best ones, too. But yeah, Coneheads.
Yeah. I
could see slip in there maybe the Ladies' Man as like a cult kind of.
That's definitely a cult.
A lot of people revere Night at the Roxbury the same way we would revere like a movie we think is like dumb and we know it's dumb, but we love it.
Uh-huh.
But I hate Night at the Roxbury and I hate Superstar and like. I hate those two movies, and I didn't think they were funny and stuff, so I still contend that Blues Brothers and Wayne's World are the two best, definitely most financially successful, but also the
best. About 1993 or 94, they lost their cachet, because 93 was Wayne's World 2, and I think Coneheads was 93
and
well.
I'll, because I have notes as to why I think
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
But proceed.
Yeah. So if you came over with us on Sucktastic or you stuck with us from Radcast mm-hmm. to Sucktastic, one thing, a segment that we loved doing, and they got, every time we would say to a guest, we have this thing we do, it's called What Was on the VHS.
Yeah.
They're like, I love it.
Yeah.
That's excellent. I love
it. Either they've listened to the show and they're like, yes, I can't wait to do this.
Yeah.
Or we tell them, they're like, oh, that's great. I love it. And we love it too.
Exactly. So obviously that's carrying over.
I mean,
from
it has
Sucktastic.
To. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know why we didn't do it before, but now it's
just didn't think of it.
I can't even imagine doing a show without it.
Yeah. If we're going to be talking about nostalgia, pop culture, mm-hmm. whatever it is, if we're talking about movies and they've been released on VHS, how can we not do a segment What Was on the VHS?
Exactly.
Because you can find most VHS openings mm-hmm. on YouTube.
Yeah, and plus on Sucktastic, a lot of the bad episodes, that was the saving grace to keep our sanity, was doing VHS openings for like better movies.
And I just want to say, there really wasn't any episode of Sucktastic that I don't like listening back to, but it's just going through and you can hear it, like watching a movie like the Bratz movie was a trying task.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, to our guests who are on Sucktastic, I love every episode in and of itself.
Especially with guests.
Yeah, but the movies for some of the episodes were completely miserable.
Exactly. Yes. This is not the case.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No more Sucktastic talk for today's episode.
If you want to listen to any of those episodes, they're archived. They're on Spotify.
Yes.
Wherever you're listening to this show, you can listen mm-hmm. to Sucktastic Cinema.
Yes.
We implore you to do so.
Please implore. I implore you to do it.
Please. So what was on the Wayne's World VHS? Coming to theaters? The Ridley Scott film, 1492, with Gerard Depardieu.
Fuck
Christopher Columbus.
Yeah.
Fuck that stupid movie.
Just saying yes. That's it. Yeah, actually, yes. That's what I was going to say.
It is one of the most egregiously inaccurate historical movies.
It is very much the glorification of a hero, which, to be fair, at the time, we didn't really know, like on a larger scale, all the stuff that we know now about Christopher Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back at it now, it's like, this is very, it's very servicing to someone who was a complete monster.
A complete monster. Complete and utter monster. And also 1992 was the
1492.
I'm talking about the year that it came out.
Ah, yes.
Columbus sailed those in blue in 1992. He had a little TV of them TV on.
As a compass.
As a compass. Kurt Loder's going to help me get there.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, Gerard Depardieu is a Frenchman playing an Italian or Portuguese. Christopher Columbus
was
Italian, but he was sailing out for Spain.
Well, Christopher Columbus was an Italian playing a Portuguese man.
Yeah, and Gerard Depardieu is French.
Yeah.
Either way, this movie's effed up,
and
it's mm-hmm. It's a terribly inaccurate movie.
Yeah.
But like it was 1992, I said that because it was the 500th anniversary of Columbus sailing the Olsen Blue, Ocean Blue.
The Olsen Blues.
Sailing the Selsen Blue.
Yeah.
Next is a message from Paramount Pictures. Arsenio Hall and Magic Johnson talking about a video that brings awareness to HIV and AIDS.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
So there's only two things on there. However, a movie that had just as big of an impact on us as Wayne's World 2.
Yes.
So I'll just do what was on the VHS for that.
It's as you said, Arsenio Hall and Magic Johnson. I was like, doing AIDS awareness.
Oh, that's good.
Good. So I thought you were going to say it in a music video.
Slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
So Wayne's World 2 VHS, real quick, coming to video, Adam's Family Values.
Mm-hmm.
Now on video, Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Fischer.
Where is he? I don't know.
I'm really surprised they didn't try to make a Spartans movie.
Yeah, that actually,
Spartan cheerleader movie.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man.
I think Lauren Michaels probably learned his lesson.
Yeah. Sorry, Lauren Michaels.
Yeah. Coming to video, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And coming to video stores near you, Dragon World.
Dragon World.
Yeah, I knew you'd pull that one out.
Let's all go to Dragon World.
And then an advertisement for Paramount Parks. So let's get into the movie.
Wayne's World.
I think I said earlier, we were, of course, familiar with the skit because we've been watching SNL
Yeah.
Since it was in syndication, the early 90s stuff was in syndication, yeah. reruns on Comedy Central. We were watching those with our siblings.
Yep.
And then we started watching, you know, kind of seeing newer episodes, quote unquote,
yeah.
with Will Ferrell, Anna Gasteyer, Sherry yeah. Terry, Chris Kattan, Tracy Morgan years.
Yeah.
So we've been watching SNL since we were probably like 9 or 10 years old,
yeah.
maybe even a little
probably
earlier.
Younger, yeah, because I remember being like 6 or 7,
yeah, so
and like
yeah.
watching Aerosmith performances,
yeah, and
on
like doing
SNL.
As yeah. a 7 or 8 year old kid doing George Bush, Dana Carvey's
yeah.
George Bush,
yeah.
doing
not
Ross Perot.
Do it. Yeah.
Ontario, I nearly dropped a load.
Yeah, yeah. those were like my yeah. the first impressions I ever attempted.
Mm-hmm.
So we were of course familiar with Wayne's World.
Yep.
The movie, however, we grew an obsession with it. Probably at like age 11,
yes,
or 12.
Yeah.
Probably like 11.
Yeah, because also the DVD went, because around that time DVDs were still pretty new.
Mm.
They had become the more dominant way to consume movies
right.
at that point, and the DVD menu for
yeah.
Wayne's World was so memorable because
yeah.
it was set up like
the TV Guide channel.
Like a TV Guide channel, mm-hmm. kind of. It gives you listings and times in which things come on. And
yeah.
there's like fake movies that are
yeah.
like fake trailers and stuff as
yeah.
that are being shown. It was just a very memorable experience, the DVD menu alone.
Yeah. And then also, it wasn't just watching the movie for us, because mm-hmm. for a lot of you out there who we're going to be 31 this year, so
yeah.
a lot of you in kind of that time period between
yeah.
like, you know, 26, 27 into your, you know, 30s, you know that if you didn't have cable in your room and you had a DVD player,
yeah.
you'd watch the DVDs and you watch special features.
Yeah.
You'd watch all that stuff. That's what you would consume to kind of bide your time.
Yep.
So a part of that for us, and it wasn't just for this, but it was for any DVD we had, what were the special features and what were some of the other features? So
mm-hmm.
what we would do is we would take a week to where we'd watch, you know, Wayne's World 2 or 3 times, and then
yeah.
we'd watch it in French,
yeah,
and then we'd watch it in Spanish,
yeah,
and we'd watch it with subtitles,
and we'd watch it with the commentary,
exactly,
and then watch the special features.
Yeah.
It's like we used every part of the buffalo,
yeah,
essentially on a DVD,
every inch of the DVD,
yeah,
like. We consumed, so both
yeah.
Wayne's World 1 and 2, like so much so that some of the most indelible parts of the movie
mm-hmm.
are the French. Like,
yeah.
So for me, like when Garth, like when, and of course, one thing we always say is if you're listening to us now and you're listening to this episode, you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
More than like mm-hmm. you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, turn this off and go watch the movie.
Yeah.
If you're interested.
Yeah.
You've seen the movie, so it's not going to be a synopsis,
mm-hmm.
but there's a scene to where they're in. Rob Lowe plays Benjamin, the television producer.
Yeah.
They're in his apartment, and Garth kind of, they're all on the terrace, and
yeah.
Garth's kind of walking around Benjamin's apartment, and he
breaking
pulls
the fourth wall.
Breaking the fourth yeah. wall, and that's something that's a nice added element
yeah.
from what the skit did.
Yeah, I will say, they do it a couple times, but it's reflective of, they do several different bits, but it's all sprinkled and used
yeah.
a healthy amount.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Garth's thing isn't, you know, consistently we see his stream
yeah.
of consciousness by a fourth wall break
yeah.
like every time.
Yeah.
He does it, it's done maybe over the hour and a half,
yeah.
you know, 94 minutes, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, this movie is such a great practice in timing.
Yeah.
It like rule of threes, like how much spacing to give a
mm-hmm.
bit, a joke, some
subversion
like,
of expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
How it parodies
complete
things.
Irreverence
yeah.
of you know, the foil of these of two idiots and their condescending straight man kind
yeah.
of thing. So
mm-hmm.
uses a lot of, and it's a testament to the writing that
yeah.
we'll get into as
yeah.
to what this separates from all the
yeah.
other SNL movies.
But to tie it back to the French
yeah.
language version,
yeah.
and there's this, it has a moment like this in Wayne's World 2 as,
yeah.
as well. When Garth's going through Rob Lowe's apartment, Benjamin's
yeah.
apartment, right before they go back out to Cassandra, Benjamin, and Wayne on the
mm-hmm.
terrace, he pulls out a thing of condoms, and the line is, "Rib for her pleasure."
Ew.
But the French version is, it's a bunch of French, like,
ew.
Like that
so
has, ever
yeah.
since we were, you know, 11
yeah.
years old, that is something that's stuck out to me. So that, you know, saying rib for her pleasure,
yeah.
like Garth is like,
yeah,
it's something
it,
that,
yeah.
that will,
ew.
It, yeah. Like anytime we see anything's rib for her pleasure, but it's the,
ew.
And then in Wayne's World 2, because if you also, if you're familiar, not just with Wayne's World, but with Mike Myers, he does that like cat purr. He does like that cat purr noise.
Yeah.
So
the
when
Pretty Woman, Roy Orbison.
Yeah. But in Wayne's World 2, when they're in England and they're in front of Piccadilly Circus, he's like, I wonder if Princess dies here. She's a babe. In the French version, it's like French.
He's like, yeah, no kidding. But in the French version,
well, what's funny too is
the native person didn't know how to make that noise.
Well, what's funny is whenever it's translated into different languages, or whenever it's translated for different, you know, audiences that speak different languages, there's a lot that was lost on them because the vernacular, the slang, the pop culture references were the vernacular and the slang were, and this, I think this is what made it relatable to that 18 to 35
and
demographic.
I have like some pretty detailed notes about my thoughts on that. Yeah.
It's the slang and the verbiage and the diction that Wayne and Garth choose to use. But then the pop culture references are strictly American.
Yeah.
So like the Laverne and Shirley part when they're in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's like, what is this?
That's confusing to people in other countries. Well, so it's just funny to hear that there was kind of a it's things that got lost in translation.
Yeah. I think it was like the phrase monkeys might fly out of my butt, which was popularized by these sketches and by this movie.
Yeah.
I think was translated on one of the versions, like until my day of judgment or something like that. Cause it's like, what, until monkeys fly?
How do we
like
translate that? What does that mean?
Nobody watching this in this country is going to understand that this is like some sort of irreverent, you know, reference to, over my dead body kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like even that, they might not be like, what, huh?
How do you translate a sphincter says what?
Yeah, exactly.
How does that joke play in another? That's already kind of like an abstract joke in a way, because it's like you're just making the other person look stupid by saying something nonsensical.
Exactly. And that's mean.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, like, I don't know, when comedy is almost its own animal.
It's at its best when you're punching up.
Yeah.
Like Wayne and Garth punch up on these corporate suits.
Yeah.
Noah Vanderhoff and Benjamin. Whenever they pull fast ones on them.
Yeah. And that's usually what it is. They're not like, and it's punching up. I was just about to say, it's this and this, but it's punching up.
Mm-hmm.
It's people who kind of to the people who relate to Wayne and Garth, it's the people who deserve it.
Right.
Who are so far up their own ass that it's funny to watch them get looked like a fool, and they don't realize that they're being made to look like a fool, but everyone else does.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're going to get to it at some point in this episode, but the first episode of the newly revamped Wayne's World.
Yeah.
the flashcard bit.
Mm-hmm. And that's not just with the movie, but that's with the skit. And and this will probably play into what you say on what makes this different than the other SNL, but it's taking these characters we see for 5 minutes at a time and you pack in jokes and pop culture references, and that can kind of be an Achilles heel if you try and make a 90-minute skit.
Mm.
But one thing that works for this is it takes the familiar characters, but it builds their world around
them. Exactly. And so it's no doubt a major undertaking to take a 5-minute sketch and turn it into a 90-minute movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
So me, as just a bystander criticizing like your Night at the Roxbury's, your Stuart Smalley Saves His Family, like it's Pat, all that stuff, I get that that's so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a line, such a delicate line to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You have room to world build, but you have to be careful to not like completely lose the spirit of the sketch.
Yeah.
And it helps that this sketch, that Wayne's World's just more than one joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like It's Pat is one recurring joke throughout. It's the same joke. It's what gender is Pat?
Mm-hmm.
And it's ambiguous jokes as people try and figure that out.
Right.
And then there's always something ambiguous said. They're like, and then it's like, no, and you never truly, like, that's the joke.
Mm-hmm.
But with Wayne's World, it benefited from the fact that, in terms of it touched on current events.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the topics always change, so it keeps the jokes fresh.
Yeah.
And the movie benefited from that and just the brilliant writing from Mike Myers, Bonnie and Terry
Turner,
which I wonder how much that, because historically Mike Myers is difficult to work with.
Yeah, and no different.
No different on this movie. Yeah. So I wonder how much was like
Mike Myers
pushed back from Mike Myers, and Mike Myers ended up changing shit anyway. So yeah. I don't know how, but still, like, the writing is brilliant. And plus, the story is just really simple.
Yeah,
and they kept it pretty centralized in Aurora for the most part.
Yeah, and also a part of how you build it is it kind of paralleling the popularity of the skit.
Yeah,
and how it resonated with so many people. Yep. You see in the movie, Wayne and Garth are local celebrities.
Yeah,
you know it, that's a cool little tidbit of, all right, Wayne's World party.
It's, and they an walk expansion. Out
like they're, yeah, they yeah. Whenever they're pulling into Makita's, they walk out like they're God's like, gift to women.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, hey, Wayne and Garth.
Yeah,
Wayne, Garth. Like when they're with Tiny, like everybody knows Wayne and Garth
in
Aurora.
Even when they go to the Gasworks, which is the club in Aurora, like the metal club in Aurora, and Wayne sees Cassandra for the first time, and then he talks to her for the first time. She's like, oh yeah, you're the guy from that Wayne's World show, right? You know, so she knows. So their reach goes a little bit beyond Aurora, but like their local celebrities, like you said.
Exactly. And to talk about like how it's grounded in reality, there's much more dimension to these characters. Like you said, it's Pat. It's the recurring joke is, like you said, these ambiguous, you know,
ambiguous language.
Yeah, exactly.
They're these leading questions like, Pat, it's like, are you doing all right, Pat? Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's that time of the month.
Like, I know.
I know.
Taxes.
And then it's right like, back to, like, oh, what gender
is
Pat?
It's funny. Yeah. Those skits are funny. Yeah. But, you know, the ladies' man is a guy who seems like he's stuck in the 70s.
Yeah.
And, like, that's
and he loves ladies.
Yeah, yeah, that's his shtick. And that's fine. Yeah. Again, Tim Meadows is awesome with that.
Yeah.
Mary Catherine Gallagher is this strange, eccentric, obnoxious character.
Yeah.
Which works in a 5-minute skit.
Mm-hmm.
Night at the Roxbury, two dimwits who, like, their thing is like they,
yeah,
they jump from club to club and they do the head bobbing.
They're skeezy perverts who go to club. You know, yeah.
But they're obnoxious.
Yeah. And there's like little to no dialogue.
Yeah.
That's the other thing for Night at the Roxbury is that in the Night at the Roxbury skits, there's almost little to no dialogue.
Yeah.
So it's like, so all we know of these characters is just this surface level thing. And that's fine because that's the joke.
Funny.
But then in Night at the Roxbury, when you try and like, now we have to catch up. Now we have to catch up on their personalities.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they talk like this.
Now we have to flesh out these characters. Who are these characters?
Yeah. Whereas with Wayne's World, they had already sort of started kind of building that in the skits.
Part of their thing is they do the top tens lists on current events, including political things.
Exactly.
Which that's what's funniest because one of the best jokes is like Wayne will go into this eloquent, articulate explanation of heavy topics, and then Garth's like, "It sucked." Like,
it sucked.
Or it's like, "I thought it was a da 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 da." What do you think, Garth?
Sucked. Yeah,
like, right on.
Or there'll be like a couple beats and then, cha, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Yeah.
And
then the classic Aerosmith bit to where like they're talking about, you know, stuff with the rise of, or with the fall of communism.
Which is that works its way into this movie with the Alice Cooper scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's so funny. That's the subversion because like it's taking characters who have represented themselves or presented themselves as one way. And then they like completely take you by surprise. Yeah. And it's like, right.
Yeah. And SNL is irreverent and snarky about current events and pop culture anyway.
That's their thing.
But like, I know when I was a kid, like, not everyone connects or even contextually, like, understands a political sketch.
Yeah.
Or a sketch that references, like, old Hollywood or something. But this was just two idiots in their basement,
yeah,
making fun of current events.
Yeah.
People, especially at that time, and this was this is before Sandler exploded, yeah, Farley and Spade, and those young guys who came in to physically represent that audience. These characters were the first to kind of represent and be relatable. Noah Vanderhoff says, just two chimps in a Davenport in a basement.
Yeah.
And Rob Lowe, he sums it up perfectly. He said, this is your audience. These are the kids who line up at Noah's Arcade every week.
Mm-hmm.
That sums up Wayne and Garth perfectly.
That's
Wayne's World.
Any of the stuff. And I adore Phil Hartman. And
love
Jan Hooks.
John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. I love
brilliant
the
comedians.
Late 80s, early 90s SNL
cast.
But there's a lot of skits that they were, and Dana Carvey was no spring chicken when he was in here.
That's true.
Late 30s.
Yeah.
However, Mike Myers was he was in his 20s.
He had a finger on the pulse.
Yeah, when he jumped into SNL. So you take kind of some of the older stand-ups, of the more aged improv players on the show, and you have something that either opens the show, mm-hmm, you have a Wayne's World skit in there.
Oh my God, Wayne's World opening a show.
That interests the younger audience who still love, you know, you still love Caveman Lawyer as an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
There may be some stuff that goes over your head. Wayne's World was in the heat of the MTV generation.
Yeah.
And you have somebody like Mike Myers who, when he joined the show, was in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
Who was in that demographic. 18 to 35 or 18 to 40-year-olds, I would even say 11-year-olds watch it. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Somebody who's 18, this is me. Somebody who's in the 35, that was me. It's relatable.
There's almost comedically something for everyone, especially in the movie. There's the Cantonese scene where it plays on the silliness of, the subtitles in foreign movies sometimes. And then there's just pure silliness. And then you have, in the Wayne's World sketches, there's Alice Cooper that talks about real historical things.
Yeah.
And he's like, this guy know how to party or what? Because there's almost comedically something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like if you don't like it, it feels like you're the problem, not the movie sort of thing.
It doesn't continuously rely on references made in the skits. There are original things that are developed in the movie to where the movie by itself, if it wasn't based off of anything, would still be a classic. It would still be just as quotable.
Yeah.
It would still be just as influential.
Yeah.
It would things that were created for the movie, exclusive to the movie, that hold up on its own without having to rely on the skit.
And again, it's a testament to the writing. It's a testament to Mike Myers created the character of Wayne Campbell when he was in Second City, which, a side note, when he brought Wayne's World SNL, he didn't want Garth.
He just wanted to be him. Yeah.
Which, Garth is the best part
that we quote and reference are Garth stuff.
Yeah, so Dana Carvey hit a home run with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps that with the characters, Mike Myers has been so intimately connected to these characters, and then he is one of the writers on the movie. He knows these characters better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, take that and his comedic sensibilities and his instincts. I was just on the way over here, I was listening to Fly on the Wall, the podcast with David Spade and Dana Carvey, to where, go check it out. It's an SNL podcast.
Yeah.
They talk to people who have been guests on SNL, musical guests, cast members, and they just talk about
their writers.
Conan
was a writer.
Yeah, they talk about their experience on SNL. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the Rob Lowe episode on the way over here, and they were just talking about the genius of Mike Myers and just a testament to some of his comedic sensibilities. Bohemian Rhapsody. That was Mike Myers' idea,
because
Lorne Michaels was like, shouldn't we do something a bit more current, maybe Guns N' Roses?
Yeah.
And Dana Carvey was like, no, Mike had his heels in the sand. He's like, no, this is the song. And he's like, it's just a testament, and a lot of other things, a testament to the brilliance of Mike Myers. Say what you want about how hard he is to work with, and I'm sure he is. That's probably changed now.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But I think sometimes I'm not making excuses. Don't be an asshole to anyone. But I get it. Being so creative and having such good instincts and knowing what will work and what won't work and just feeling it so deeply, you're probably going to be a little difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
Which I get it.
Yeah.
But that's what makes Wayne's World work.
Yeah.
Is that Mike Myers' instincts. And he's like, no, we're going to do this because I know this is the best thing. And so when you have the comedic brilliance of Mike Myers, that's also what separates it from like a Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
That are just purely just feel like they're capitalizing on an SNL sketch.
Yeah. And I know the early 2000s and the mid 2000s were not kind to Mike Myers led projects and
Except
Mike Myers creations. Sure. But you cannot deny Wayne's World, Austin Powers, So I Married an Axe Murderer is criminally underrated.
And again, in that movie, he placed a couple of different characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just the amounts of words and phrases that were introduced to the masses, like into the lexicon of the Schwing.
Like, yeah, people, Valley Girl and Clueless are rightfully so seen as influential, even if it just gave teenagers around that time.
Yeah.
Vernacular and slang and ways to talk.
Yeah.
Like you said into the lexicon of, you know, into the teenage lexicon.
Yeah.
Wayne's World is just as influential, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And a lot of things Mike Myers drudged up from personal experience. So he probably heard Schwing, you know,
yeah.
or maybe he created for the, definitely That's What She Said jokes existed before The Office.
Yeah.
They existed before Wayne's World. Those were probably jokes he and his friends told.
Yeah.
And he brought it in. That's where I first heard That's What She Said.
Yeah. Are you done? I'm tired of holding this.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
Guess jeans girl called Claudia Schiffer. Schwing. Hey, are you finished? Are you almost finished? I'm tired of holding this.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Monkeys might fly out of my butt. Like, monkeys fly out of my butt. That was it. You know, stuff like that. Insertion. Like, she's a babe. Like, just the way of saying it. Like, a blank says what. Like, things that the youth were doing anyway, but now they were seeing it. It was being introduced to a lot more people who maybe they didn't grow up in high school doing that stuff.
Calling somebody a sphincter.
Yeah.
A sphincter is way different than what people might think it is based upon how Wayne's World used
it. Yeah, exactly. It sounds a lot worse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we're not worthy, doing that for
exactly.
stuff.
So, like I said earlier in the episode, we want to pay homage to something that was done in the skits.
Yeah.
So one thing that they do, and I think I mentioned, they could do it with the Oscars, they could do it with political situations, they did it with like the Gulf War, did it with the fall of communism, is Wayne and Garth's top 10 list on their takes of what were the most important things in those moments. So because of how influential this movie was with Matt and I, and again, it's no hyperbole in saying, at least, if not daily, weekly, something since we were, if not regularly since we were 11 or 12, definitely since we were teenagers, something comes up with Wayne's World, whether somebody says something totally unrelated and we tie it back to Wayne's World or quote something from Wayne's World based on something somebody else said or moments that we share with our siblings or blah, blah, blah.
Everyone like has like that friend that you guys are like Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
Like we, I mean, it's not like I'm Wayne and you're Garth or vice versa.
They're,
it's just the idea of two dudes who don't take most things seriously.
Two dudes who don't take things seriously who love riffing on the elite, riffing on just assholes, punching up. Like I said earlier.
Exactly.
I love punching up.
And I love a healthy amount of silliness and absurdity.
Exactly.
And this movie, and I emphasize a healthy amount.
Yeah. No, it's to quote Conan O'Brien, I bow to the altar of silliness.
It's that, put that on my tombstone.
Yeah. But the thing too is like when we add the video element to the show, there's going to be little infusions of Wayne's World S stuff. If Wayne's World met Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Those are the two influences on this show.
Yeah. And I will, and we'll probably get it. We're going to be getting into moments and quotes, so this will come up anyway.
Yes.
But I just want to just praise Rob Lowe.
Yes.
Just the untapped comedic potential that like Mike Myers and Dana Carvey saw when he would host Wayne's World and he was on Sprockets and stuff like that.
When he would host SNL.
And he would SNL,
The Arsenio Beckman show.
That's just
hysterical.
It's just Rob Lowe is quick and he's funny and he probably has been, but he was the heartthrob.
He was the serious actor.
And so like Mike Myers and Dana Carvey saw it, but they introduced that to everyone, and that opened up everyone's eyes to how funny Rob Lowe is.
And he is in that role.
He
plays an excellent, handsome, slimy douchebag.
Yeah.
Who see these guys are just idiots and easily manipulated and stuff like that. He's just so duplicitous. And
Rob Lowe plays it so perfectly.
Yeah. So coming back to what we're gonna do now, because we can't just do straight up top 10 things from Wayne's World. Yeah. So we split it up into moments and quotes. Yeah. So in honor of the skit, and we'll only do this little bit here for top 10 moments. We won't subject you all to this for quotes, but we've done it. We've done our top 10 moments and quotes. So first, our top 10 moments we've used in everyday life since we were kids.
Top 10 moments we've used in everyday life since we were kids.
Excellent.
Wicked.
Top 10 moments.
Great song.
All right. Top 10 moments. Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. So this is in no particular order. Well, no particular order until the last thing.
Yeah.
So in no particular order here,
and this was mutually agreed upon.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Mirage sound effect.
Yeah.
Diddle-doo.
Yeah. And again, if I don't physically do it, I think it.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of these are ones that occur in my brain in response to something.
Yeah.
I don't always like say it
right
out loud.
But it's occurred and it's happened enough. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, I said earlier too, stuff we've shared with our siblings as well. Because they've, of course, seen the movie multiple times as well.
Yep.
The Foxy Lady Dance.
Yep.
Especially the Foxy.
Exactly. I can't. This movie introduced me at that age to so many songs like Foxy Lady, Bohemian Rhapsody, Dreamweaver, stuff like Fire by Jimi Hendrix. But every time I hear Foxy Lady, and I'm sure a lot of people share the same sentiment, every time I hear that song, this scene plays in my head.
The way Garth says stuff like, excuse me, and okay.
I'd like to get by now.
What do you want, you little dweeb?
That's a kind of an honorable mention.
Just
like,
saying, what do you want, you little dweeb?
Like, thank you.
So the way,
just say thank you.
Just the way Garth says stuff.
Yeah.
It's how we've said stuff since we were kids. Wayne's face when Officer Kaharsky says there's a nice little program.
Yeah, they've lost Wayne's World because now Benjamin owns it because they signed a contract. And also, Wayne and Garth had just made up because they fought in the a couple scenes ago.
Yeah.
And it's a nice, sorry to hear about your show. It's a nice little program.
And
I love it because, and I always point it out because, like, if you're doing like a paint by numbers scene of like consoling somebody, you'd be like, thanks, Officer Kaharsky. But just the complete like lack of appreciation, like,
it's okay,
like it's like
what?
A what? Yeah, what? Yeah,
but just that's used for various things.
Yeah,
the gun rack bit. We're not gonna quote it
because if I once we start, it's gonna be the whole thing. But the whole gun rack bit.
Yeah,
it's just down to a science at this point.
And the tiki bar when Benjamin is talking to them about the paying them to do Wayne's World, and he's like, but I told him you're an artist, you're not interested in money. And Wayne's like, no, we're not interested in money. The face, kind of the side glance face Garth makes to where he looks at him and his eyes start up and down. Nobody acknowledge. That's also something that I love in comedy is the nonverbals that nobody acknowledges.
Yes, small details like that. Also, you haven't been counting down these, like, number 10.
Like I said earlier, the only thing that's in order is going to be the last thing.
You're right. Yep. You did say that. Yep.
So that part, the Alice Cooper bit, more specifically the Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land.
Well, that's right, Pete. Is this guy not at a party or what?
Yeah. The cheesy lounge singer version of Wayne's World.
Wayne's World, party time, excellent.
Like, it's Friday,
it's 11:30.
Wayne's World.
Party on Wayne and party on Garth. Your last name is pronounced Algar, right? Okay.
Wayne! So that's nine of them. And then the number one thing that I cannot hear this song or this moment, I cannot hear this song anymore in almost any scenario wherever I'm at without doing this, the Bohemian Rhapsody
scene. I mean, come on.
Anybody who loves this movie, and I'm not saying it's a requirement, but I'm saying anybody who loves this movie, you have at least once in your life, when you listen to Bohemian Rhapsody, have died for me,
when it's everyone headbangs.
Yep. So on Fly on the Wall, and when Rob Lowe and Dana Carvey were given this bit of information, I was like, thank you. Thank you. Because like, this is going to be perfect for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Dana Carvey, he made a comment. He said, I was watching La La Land and I forgot how the importance of syncopation to music, like how important that is in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did in Bohemian Rhapsody, like it made that, the headbanging made that so potent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, potent is a perfect word.
Yes.
Potent is a perfect word for that. That's, we got these pop filters because it are plosives.
Deadens the plosives.
Yeah. And I was like, that's so perfect. Because it does. And Rob Lowe was like, he's like, when I first saw the movie, I went and I saw it. And in that scene, when it builds and you guys start headbanging, the whole theater erupted.
Yes.
I had never seen anything like that before.
If you were to have a showing of that in a theater somewhere,
everybody's headbanging.
You know, we in St. Louis, we have summer series, movies on Art
like
Hill,
midnight movie.
Yeah.
If they show that, at least a 3/4 of the audience is going to headbang along with
it. Yeah, exactly. And Garth said, he's like, originally we were going to do stuff like outside the car and stuff, but he's like, but that would have cost. That is just, we didn't have time or the budget. And my thought is the scene is perfect how it is.
Yeah.
There is stuff that happens while the song is going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, it's Phil. Like, this is, he's going to spew.
These little breaks. Spewing this.
Dun, 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 dun. Easy come, easy. Now we're back in the car. But everything staying in the car for the most part makes it so perfect. It makes it relatable because who hasn't been in their car with their friends singing Queen or singing Led Zeppelin or singing, and they're singing along.
Having a late night drive in mid-America.
Yes. Like that was college for us. Yeah. So singing along to, screaming the lyrics.
Pulling up to the donut shop.
Yeah, exactly. Singing Four Horsemen by Metallica. Like,
exactly. Like if for those of you listening that were with us in college, for 4 years in college, and then for about a year after that, Thursday night donut night at Old Town Donuts in Florissant.
Yeah.
That was a regular happening.
We had Old Town. They had Makita's.
Exactly.
They hung out at the donut shop too.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is now just occurring to me.
It's one of those things that it just makes it much more beloved to me and much more relatable.
Yeah.
So,
back to my original point with the I'm glad that they kept everything in the car because the stuff outside the car probably would have been like maybe like I'm just imagining like cutaways or more silliness and absurdity and I feel like had you done that at the beginning of the movie it would have been funny, but later on when you try and do something silly and absurd, you may have felt a little burnt out
because
that may have been one silly and absurd scene too much.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it stayed how it was.
Mm-hmm.
And Garth towards it, nothing really matters. Anyone can see.
Dana Carvey says, I didn't take the time to learn the lyrics.
Yeah.
So when he's like, nothing really matters. Anyone can see.
The way he's moving.
But
I was like, but that again, back to being relatable. Who hasn't like been so into it's you and your friends singing a song, you're so into it, but some people don't know some of the words, and so like you're into it, but you're just it's such a small thing that every time I see it, it makes me laugh.
Yeah,
because it's anyone can see, like there's that vibrato, and Garth doesn't say C, but he stresses the vibrato. Like, ba, ba, like he's mouthing, ba, 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 ba.
Just the way his mouth moves.
And when Wayne's like, nothing really matters, he makes sure he's late coming in with matters.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, and then also just every, like, Terry and Al and Phil all have their parts.
It's so perfect. Yeah. It's so perfect.
Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's like you said, it's perfect. And it's the most, I think for any, again, anybody loves the movie, it's mm-hmm. the most referenced part outside of the gun rack bit.
Yep.
Now our top 10 quotes, and that's just a name only. I think I put 15 on here.
Yeah.
There
will probably be quotes within these quotes.
Yeah. And in no order, just say thank you.
Say thank you. That's, I love you, man.
For us who are over explainers.
Yep.
That's us pulling ourselves back and being like, just say thank
just
you.
Just say thank you. Because there's the running joke.
Like, it's because it's hard to take compliments sometimes.
Exactly.
So with us, like, sometimes we have the issue of deflecting. You'd be like, oh, no, thank you. But you, blah, blah, blah. So we just come back. Just say thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And there is that running joke where Terry is showing his appreciation. Terry is showing their appreciation for different moments. He's like, I love you, man. It's like, no, Terry, I love you. He's like, no, you don't, man. I love you.
No, I love you, man.
Yeah. Russell.
I know.
Just no,
say
you don't.
Thank you.
I love you.
Just say thank you.
Game on.
Game on.
Anybody who's played any sport in the street, not just in the street, but anybody who's ever played any sport with friends.
Yeah.
Game on. Game on. Yeah. And then car.
Yeah.
Car. Because you're in the middle of the street. Yeah.
Yeah. This one is also super applicable to us who, you know, maybe don't like being in social situations around people we don't know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a good time. Not. And this one, I mean, the whole chroma key bit, but more specifically, hi, I'm in Delaware.
I got a gun. Let's go to a Broadway show. Howdy, y'all.
Let's raise and rope Broncos. It's like people only do things because they get paid. And that's just really sad.
The brilliance. Just that whole sponsorship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the kind of the end jokes.
Yeah, Yeah.
We do this one with Tyler Strickland, who's been on the show many times. He was on Sucktastic.
Yeah.
And he'll be on here many more times.
Yeah.
We do this with him all the time. Zang.
Zang.
Whether it's like, man, I got a crush on that girl. She's Zang.
Zang.
It's just the Cantonese way of saying excellent.
Yeah, or if something's cool, it's like Zang.
That's totally Zang, dude.
Yeah.
She's a babe. Swing.
Audi, audi, audi. We just sounded like we haven't used that on women.
No,
we're not perverts.
Not genuinely.
No.
Just like as like a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do. I mean, but saying swing.
Yeah, swing.
Yeah.
She's magically babelicious. That's another thing is inserting babe like Babraham Lincoln. Oh, she's babelicious.
She were a president. She'd be Babraham Lincoln.
She'd be Babia Majora.
Yeah.
For her cunning and her wit.
She La Renard.
Mm.
It's like a new pair.
That's what. Yeah, that's what. Yeah, it is.
It's like a new pair of underwear. At first it's constrictive. Then it becomes a part of you.
I gotta go. It's but that like waiting for like you say something. And then you think it's funny, or you think, and nobody reacts. You're like, I gotta go.
If it's a severed head, I'm gonna be very upset.
Oh my god! That again, the whole gun rack bit.
The gun rack bit. But then anytime I get a gift,
if it's a severed head, I'm gonna be very upset.
Okay, it's like that doesn't mean we can't still keep going out.
It does actually. That's what breaking up is. Just that cadence and that delivery. I'll use for like other da 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, we got $5,000. We got $5,000,
which we've never had.
We've never had to use, but we do. We just do it.
Apply it to other things,
unrelated,
celebratory things.
Yeah. And then one of the more used ones. Excuse me, I'd like to go to the bathroom.
In this century. When I, a little so story, the first time, because the guy in the bathroom, you hear him say, just a minute. The first time I heard that, the first time I realized that's what he's saying, we had the captions on.
Yeah.
And I saw just a minute, and I
realized what it was, and I could not stop laughing.
Yeah,
because it's just the real brief. Just a minute. It's kind of quiet, which it's more pronounced when you know what it is.
Yeah,
I don't know. Your brain just kind of works that way. But and then when Garth's standing in line and Stacy comes up to him, he's like his. I haven't done that outwardly to someone, but there have been times in which someone I maybe don't want to talk to or whatever. I see them coming. I'm just like, and internally just be like,
or at the loft party when Wayne is quote unquote gliding towards Cassandra and Stacy's like, hi Wayne, and it's like, and just the face he makes, like,
which is also very subtle. He's not like, oh my God, he's just
But some honorable mention. I just opened my mouth and out it came.
Yeah.
Anytime it's like, oh, that's a good idea. I just opened my mouth and out it came. The way Wayne says Benjamin. We have a nephew named Benjamin.
Yes.
And we have a buddy named Benjamin we work with. Yeah. So every time, you know, every now and then I'm like, Benjamin.
Yeah. But it's not with the strife. When we go see our nephew, it's not eye rolling like Benjamin.
Like just, Wayne says it in the movie.
Yeah.
And then one that's completely random is who's Anthony? Who's Anthony?
Yeah. My drummer.
And then in honor of Meatloaf, Jolly Green Giants.
Shitty Beatles,
are they any good? They suck.
Then it's not just a clever name.
Yep. Hey, you're right. Party on.
And, yo.
And then it's funny, something that they created for the movie is Garth doesn't like shaking hands or high-fiving.
Yeah.
It's like touching people hand-to-hand, which is funny.
Which is, it's a small thing, though, that you can't, that they never touched on it in the sketch, but it's small enough to where it's like, oh, I guess Garth... Hi.
Yeah. Hey.
The drum scene.
Yeah, exactly. The drum scene. Stairway.
Are things that we're getting to the end of the episode, and there are things that we have most definitely left out.
That was really hard.
Because I was watching it this morning, because you texted me anyway last night. You're like, this is coming up with moments and quotes.
First 10 minutes, I was like, this is going to be harder than I thought.
Yeah, and I was watching it, and I was like, I can't, like, literally everything. I was like, we quote entire scenes.
The entire movie.
Pieces. Like, so that's why I'm sitting there like, I can't narrow down just quotes because it's like this whole scene is fucking classic.
Yeah. And plus the classic, no stairway, deny.
Yeah, exactly. And which the first... You're
amazing, dude. Yeah. Thanks.
I like to play. Which, as everyone knows by now, was actually Dana Carvey playing. Yeah. And actually wasn't, and the song Wayne started playing wasn't actually Stairway to Heaven, because even a couple notes they would have had to pay for.
Yeah. But that's Wayne's World. That's Wayne's World to us. And there's...
This honestly could have been like a two-part episode.
Yeah, and this is some... And speaking of, we're going to talk about Wayne's World 2 at some point.
I love Wayne's World 2. To me, it's just as quotable as the first one. The first one, though, just has that special feel, because the second one expands and goes to England.
But the second one, I mean, for God's sake, the Del Preston story. I can't tell you how many times we quote that entire passage.
The little sweet shop on the edge of town.
And then when we're like, even our dad has seen that and thinks it's hysterical.
Yeah.
And not he's not void of comedic sensibilities at all, and he's not out of touch with stuff. He's watched all that most of the stuff too, but it's just funny to see some of the stuff that you're reminded on. Oh
yeah,
dad's more than likely seen that movie too, and that's hilarious to him. It's so outlandish and ridiculous, still hysterical. I think it does what any good sequel does, and it's expand upon what the first one presented. And plus the line in there, you're what? That's probably the line I use the most out of any movie.
We are getting to the end and more things. I'm like, we mentioned Chris Farley at the top. We should leave. Chris Farley's scene is short, but it's so great. Mm-hmm. And there's such a wonderful improvised moment.
Yeah. The alternate endings.
Let's
do the mega happy ending.
Yeah, exactly. At the end, like Frankie Sharp Records. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of, it's just, there's this, it's so dense. Mm-hmm. With memorable scenes and lines and moments.
Yeah. And if you're listening, I know you have seen it. Reach out to us on social media and let us know your favorite moments.
Yeah.
Have we touched on any of them? Are there things that maybe we didn't mention as our favorite that are your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Drop us a line.
I might, after this episode comes out, after a couple of days, I'll probably do an Instagram story.
Yeah.
Be like, if you've listened to our episode, like, what are some of your favorite lines from Wayne's World?
Exactly. Because we are back with the Radcast. Yes. There are going to be a couple weeks here at the top to where we might not have an episode because we are going to be celebrating our longtime buddy, longtime friend, and guest. Who's been on here a couple times, Phil Giese.
Philip Giese.
He's getting married. Mazel tov to Phil.
Wonderful.
We're going to be traveling to Texas to be in his wedding.
Yep.
And we won't have an episode for a couple of these weeks because bachelor party and then his wedding. Yeah. We won't be able to record. But after that, we are going to be running and gunning.
Running and gunning.
Like,
so, still got to figure out if we want to probably do seasons. Or do you want to just keep moving?
We'll figure it out.
We will see.
Figure it out,
because
listeners.
We're back with this, back with the Radcast.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
For listening. You can hit us up on social media. Let us know how you feel about the show. And we love you.
Love you.
Until next
time.
That
is not hyperbole.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah.
Thank
Until
you.
The next time.
Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.
Because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? See you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.